At www.spreaker.com, create your own radio show and find thousands of exclusive radio channels.
Praise God. Now, before we actually go into our message, and I'm only going to hold you just a short while today, before we go into the actual message that I want to give, I want to look in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll start at verse 24. This particular verse of Scripture that ties into the message today has, for some, been a source of problem and difficulty in interpreting it, and the Lord has showed me a few things about it that I'd like to share with you before we go into our message. 2 Timothy 2:24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. Okay, that God does not want us getting over into strife. But be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, at first glance, you would read over this, and it wouldn't maybe hit you, but when you begin to meditate this particular verse of Scripture, you're going to see some things. Now, in the New American Standard, it says this: the servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, and patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by the devil to do the will of the devil. So we see and understand here that when we get out of the will of God in our lives, and when we begin to live in sin, when we become lazy in our spiritual lives, when we let down our shield of faith, when we take off our helmet of salvation, when we become passive in our Christian walk, we are opposing ourselves. And there are basically three different type of people that the servant of the Lord is going to have to minister to in life. You're going to minister to those, well, there's four. You're going to minister to those who love Jesus Christ with all of their heart, on fire for the Lord, doing everything within their power to serve God. And then there are those who oppose themselves. It is amazing to me how oftentimes we fight for our right to do things or be something or say things that is actually harmful and hurtful and damnable to us. And really, when you get right down to it, all sin opposes us. God hates sin because sin is death. And God wants to give us abundant life. Hallelujah. So that's the first group of the second group of people. The first group, if you'll remember, were the ones that love the Lord with all their heart, doing everything within their power to serve Him. And when they lack ability, praise God, the Holy Spirit gives us ability to serve Christ. The second group of people are those who are opposing themselves. They are on a self-destructive course. They may or may not realize it. And then in the New American Standard translation that we read, it translates that same phrase, those who are in opposition. This indicates to us that they are in opposition to what the man of God is teaching. And they also oppose the man of God himself. So it's the messenger and the message that this third group of people will be opposed to. And finally, you're going to run across many, many people who are just simply opposed to God. They're opposing themselves, they're opposed to you, they are opposed to your message, and they are opposed to God Himself. But yet, God has called us to be salt and light in the earth. And so we will come across these people, and the Bible says we should do it with meekness. Now, the word meekness is not weakness. There's a big difference there. I want to say that again. This word meekness does not imply the word weakness. Two different things. One of the worst sins of the modern church of the Lord Jesus Christ today is that we have presented a gospel of weakness. That happens anytime you as a Christian or you as a preacher compromise with the world. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking here in this particular scripture about meekness. The word meekness simply means controlled strength. We have the power of God, the power of the Word of God, and we direct that power according to the leading of the Holy Spirit to do the individual the most good. That's that word meekness. That is why in the next verse it says, or it's in the same 25th verse, if God peradventure, or if the New American Standard says, if perhaps God may grant them repentance that will lead them to the knowledge of the truth. Now, at first glance, you would look at that scripture and you would say that God, you know, you would think, well, is God going to allow some people to repent and other people he won't allow them to repent? But that's not what it's saying. You have to remember, it's tied into the previous verse. What God is saying there is if that we will minister to them in meekness, if we will have controlled strength about us, that we can be discerning in our ministering. You follow me so far? If we have this controlled strength that the Bible calls meekness, letting the Spirit of God lead us in our ministering, then God is doing everything he can do in the spirit realm to get through to this person. A lot of the times when we're ministering to people, we turn them off. There are some people that are not opposed to God. They are just opposed to you because of your manner, because of your demeanor, or whatever the case might be. So we want to be sensitive to those issues in our ministry. We do not compromise the message. We do not become people pleasers. But we are sensitive to the needs of people so that when we come in contact with them, we have to realize that the Spirit of God is doing all that he can possibly do behind the scenes, so to speak, in the world of the Spirit to engineer their salvation or their deliverance or whatever it is that they have need of. God wants to do it. God wants to save people. God wants to deliver people. God wants to heal people. And he is working feverishly behind the scenes in the world of the Spirit to accomplish that it will take to bring this person through. And what it's saying is that if we will not quarrel with them, if we will rely upon the Holy Spirit to lead us in our ministering, then God has a better chance of penetrating their will and getting through to them and getting them to bow their knee to Jesus Christ. Now, you can look at it this way too. When we minister on the Word of God under the power of the Holy Spirit, not because we are angry with the person. There's a difference between gossiping and telephone ministry, in other words. See, we don't come up against somebody in our anger towards them. We simply come up because we have a heart of Jesus for this person, and we want to see them delivered and set free. It's love that motivates that ministry. It's love that puts us in this person's life, and we are praying in the Spirit, getting the leading of the Holy Spirit, so that God has the best opportunity to come through for this person. Because God wants to do it. But God will never violate the will of a human being. God will not force himself upon you. He will not force himself to be your Lord. He will not force himself to be your prosperer or your healer You have to allow your will to go into His will. You have to make His will your will before He can do anything for you. Praise God. I just wanted to clarify that because I've had some people ask me questions about that particular verse. It is not saying that, well, you know, God's already chosen some people for heaven and some people for hell. That's not what it's saying. It's you have to dig into the original text that it was written in, and you will find out that it is hinging here on the servant of the Lord and his obedience to the Spirit of the Lord. Now, in the 26th verse is where we will begin our teaching lesson today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask as we endeavor to speak to your people, and Father, to those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord and their King, Father, I ask that you would anoint us. I ask, dear God, that you would anoint the hearts of the people to hear and to receive of your word that is able to renew their minds, save their souls, and Father, challenge us today to reach out and be all that we can be for God. And we give you all the praise and the glory, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen and amen. Let's read that 26th verse once more. That they may recover themselves, or that they can rebound in life. How many know this morning that God is the God of the second chance? Why, fact of business, God is the God of the third chance and the fourth chance, and God is the God of the hundredth chance. That they might recover themselves or rebound in life out of the snare of the devil. They have been taken captive by the devil at the devil's will. I want to open our time together by explaining another kind of a side issue here with you, or to you, I should say. Some people have asked, well, I've been struggling, Brother Paxton. I don't know if I'm in the will of God or not. How do I get in the will of God and stay in the will of God in my life? And I've met people that have really been burdened by this. Well, there's no easy answers. There is. There is a starting place, and that's what I want to share with you right now for a moment, briefly, before we go into the message. Everybody's got to start somewhere. And you have to learn how to start where you are in your life. And God will use that. God will honor that. The simplest way to be in the will of God is to obey what you read in the Word of God. To be doing what God has told you already to do in His Word. You are in His will as you are obedient to His Word. And then we run into the specifics of our coming and our going and our doing this or doing that. But, child of God, when you are obedient to His revealed Word, His revealed will, when you're obedient to the Word of God, you put yourself in a position where the Spirit of God will lead you through the open doors of your life, and you can stay in the will of God simply by being obedient. If you will obey the Word, you will become sensitive to hear the Holy Spirit. Let me give you five things that you can do that will really improve your life as a Christian and also promote God's will being done in your life. Number one is you need to go to church. Now, I know this is deep revelation, but you might want to write this down. You need to go to church. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together with other believers in the Lord of like precious faith. Go to a good church. Go to a church where they preach salvation by the blood of Jesus. They preach the baptism in the Holy Ghost. They preach divine healing and practice it. They preach the, you know, authority over the devil and all of his efforts. Go to a good church. And secondly, You need to read your Bible every day. I don't care how busy you think you are. I don't care how short the day seems to be. You need to read your Bible every day. Make a time. How can you obey the Word if you don't know the Word? How can you get into the will of God if you don't know the will of God? And thirdly, you need to pray every day. You need to have a time where you not only talk to the Father, but you hear from Him as well. And fourthly, now remember, we go to church, we read the Bible, we pray, we need to share our faith with others. That is the will of God for your life, that you share your faith and witness and give the gospel to others. And lastly, you need to begin to pay your tithes. Enter into that part of your covenant with God, being obedient to His Word in the area of giving. And when you have done this, when you are obedient to what you read in His Word, then you put yourself in a position where the Spirit of God can lead you through the footsteps of life, of the pathway of life, hallelujah, and you will stay in the will of God. And if you get out a little bit of the will of God, if you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, He'll draw you back and put you where He wants you to be. See? So it's not something that you have to sit and wring your hands over wondering if you're in the will of God. Be obedient to what you know today and trust God, put your faith in God, that He will lead you where He wants you to be. Hallelujah. So there we have a little extra. There's no charge for that. That's sort of like the hole in the middle of the donut there. It's just free today. But I want you to be in the will of God, and God wants you to be in His will. Amen? One of the most important aspects of the game of basketball is rebounding. If someone misses a shot, the most important thing to do is crash the boards and get the rebound. That same principle applies in the church. Now listen, everyone misses the mark at times. So the importance of rebounding in the church cannot be overstated. The question is this, child of God, how well do you rebound your missed shots? The Bible is filled with stories of heroes of faith who were rebounders. Moses rebounded to serve God after he murdered an Egyptian. Rahab rebounded to an honored place in the genealogy of Jesus Christ after she had been a prostitute. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Hallelujah. Ruth rebounded to marry Boaz after the death of her husband. David rebounded to become Israel's greatest king after sinning with Bathsheba. Peter rebounded to become a great apostle after denying Christ three times. And Paul rebounded to become history's greatest missionary after persecuting and killing Christians. I want to tell you today that if you are willing to follow Christ, if you are willing to deny yourself and to take up your cross and follow Christ, that it doesn't matter that you may have missed the mark at times. It doesn't matter that you may have fallen into a sin. It doesn't matter if you will turn from that sin to Jesus Christ in total repentance. You can rebound in life and do something great for God. You say, well, I have failed God. I failed many times. I started out well. I started running the race of faith, but things happened and I messed up. God is in the salvage business, praise God. God will take that life that has been messed up, and God will clean it up, and God will change you from the inside out, and God will restore your life if you will come to Him in obedience. It's amazing to me as we read the Bible, the entire emphasis of the Bible is on that word obedience. The entire emphasis on being in the will of God and running the race of the Christian life and finishing strong in life, the emphasis boils down to the word obedience. And that's what God is calling some of you to do today. Yes, you sinned. Yes, you missed the mark. Yes, you made a mistake. You shot the ball and it didn't go through the hoop. What would you do if you was watching your favorite basketball star? Maybe it was Michael Jordan. What if you were watching Michael Jordan and he shot that shot and it hit the rim and it floundered around up against the backboard and it did not go through the basket, and you saw Michael Jordan, the great Michael Jordan, walk off the court into the locker room, put his suit back on and say, "I'm never playing basketball again." I want to tell you, it doesn't happen that way, does it? You have got to get the rebound. If you have wandered away from God this morning, I'm telling you that you don't have to let that be the final word. You don't have to let the devil take you captive at his will. You don't have to remain in that position that you are in right now, because God loves you so much so that He sent Jesus to the cross of Calvary to bleed and die for you, to win your redemption, to purchase your redemption, to take you back from the trap and the snare of the devil. You can rebound in life, neighbor, and do something great for God. Hallelujah. And that's what we want. We want to come into the position that God wants us to be in the center of His will, and we want to make heaven our home. Hallelujah. It's time to get that rebound. Some of you have known the Lord, and you've sinned, and maybe your church hasn't really treated you very well. Maybe when you made that mistake, maybe when you sinned, and I'm not trying to make excuses for your sin, because let me tell you something, sin will send you to hell. And there is no excuse for the sin. But sometimes religious people make it hard for you to repent. I know that. Maybe you've committed that sin, and it's terrible, and it's deadly, and it's devilish, and it's dastardly. And the church treated you badly. They failed you. They let you down. They didn't receive you back into fellowship. I know some religious devils in our churches that never let a person come back. They make a mistake. They do something that this particular group doesn't agree with or like, and you're never welcomed back into fellowship. Let me tell you something. That's not Jesus Christ. Jesus will welcome you back into fellowship with Him. Amen. He will welcome you with open arms if you'll come to Him. What the devil wants to do in your life is close it off to the position where you will feel so defeated and you will feel so unlovable to God that you won't come back to God. And then He has you. Let me tell you something, partner. If you've sinned, neighbor, listen. If you've messed up your life, don't let the devil win the victory. How many times have you went to a basketball game, and we're using basketball, this could go for any game really, but basketball today, we're talking about rebounding. But how many times have you went to a basketball game and have them to declare a winner at the end of the first quarter? Or how about at the end of the third quarter? Or how about right 2 minutes before the game, a tight score, and they are already declaring a winner? It isn't going to happen. It isn't right, because in that last minute, in that last 2 minutes, anything can happen in that game. Let me tell you something. If the devil has won a quarter in your life, Do not declare him the winner. Praise God, because if you will come back to Christ to serve Jesus with all of your heart, he will receive you back into fellowship, even if men and organizations will not receive you, Jesus will. Because God looks at your heart, and he knows if you are truly sorry. God knows if you have truly repented. Every one of these great heroes in the Word of God, every one of them had something in their life that was un-Christ-like, that was ungodly, that they had to deal with and get victory over. Now, we don't want to ignore our sin and our missing of the mark. We need to deal with it. We need to get victory over it so that we can go on in God's will for our life. Satan will take you captive whenever he wants to if you get out of the will of your Father God. If you remove yourself from God's will in whatever area, I didn't say now you wandered off the path innocently. I said you remove yourself. You sin. Satan can at that moment take you captive at his will. But there is a rebound. Praise God. And quite frankly, I'm glad there is, because I don't know anybody alive that hasn't sinned. The Bible says if we say we have not sinned, then we make God a liar. And the Bible says it's the will of God for our life when we sin. If you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours alone, but for the sin of the whole world. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, that's God's will for you. It is not God's will that you sin and then stay away from God because he don't want to see you no more. That's a lie of the devil. Amen. That is what Satan would love to get you to believe. Maybe we're not even talking about sin here this morning. Maybe you have been fired as a pastor of a church through no fault of your own. Maybe you attempted a unique ministry only to see it crumble and disappear into total oblivion. Maybe you stood up one day and said, I think today I'll do something great for God. God has called me to do this. And then it seems like every door shuts. Neighbor, you can't give up. You cannot quit, because that is where you need to get the rebound in life. When you've attempted that challenging thing, when you've attempted to lead someone you care about to Christ, but that person rejects you and Christ, that might get you down, but don't let it put you out. Hallelujah. Get the rebound in life. Come back into the total will of God for you and try again. If God has called you, try again in the name of Jesus. Get the rebound of life. The Holy Spirit within you gives you the power to rebound. Amen? It'll give you the Holy Spirit. He will give you the power to rebound in life. You may have run out of power, and you may have run out of strength, and you may have run out of courage, but thanks be to God, the Holy Spirit is infinitely endowed with all of those things. You can be what God has called you to be. If you know that great men and women of God are just ordinary people that will never quit. You've heard the old saying, winners never quit, and quitters never win. Winners never quit, and quitters never win. We might not be talking about sin in your particular case. Maybe you really wanted something so bad. I was watching the Andy Griffith Show the other night. Now, I like that show from the early 60s there, in the middle 60s. And the one I was watching the other night was a story about Opie, and he was entering into a race, a foot race. I think it was like a 50-yard dash or something. And he was competing against four or five other little kids there that had entered into that competition. And Opie wanted to win the 50-yard dash so bad. He wanted a ribbon. Opie wanted the prize. And he dreamed about it. And he meditated on it. Some of us are that way in ministry. God has absolutely called you to ministry. And you dream big dreams and you meditate that dream and that call. But when Opie went to the race, he didn't run as fast as some of the bigger kids. And Opie lost. Sometimes we don't know why we face these areas of defeat in our lives. Sometimes the devil creeps in unawares and we attempt to do something great for God, but we fail. Sometimes it's our fault, and sometimes we don't know why it happens. Sometimes other people with a bad spirit get involved and cause us problems along the way. But you know, when Opie lost this race, immediately, as little boys will do, he began to pout. He began to sulk. He walked off the racetrack and he went home. And he said he would never race again. He told Andy Griffith that he didn't ever want to see those people again, that they were not his friends. And he became bitter and angry. And he went home and he hid himself. Dear minister friend of mine today, dear Christian today, don't let that happen to you in the race of life. Don't let that happen to you in this race of life, because you see, there are obstacles. There are going to be adversaries to your dream. There are going to be those sinister, darkened forces of hell that will try to stand between you and the will of God for your life. And inevitably, no matter how hard we try, no matter how holy we are, no matter how good we become, inevitably in our lives, there are going to be times we're going to fall. We're going to stumble. But thanks be to God today, get up. Don't go walk off the race course of life. Don't go isolate yourself. Do not pull away from the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not hide yourself in the darkened room of depression. But praise God, get the rebound and do something great for God. Hallelujah. That's what God has called you to be. Let me tell you something, that oftentimes trouble comes to us in order to sharpen our character. Have you ever thought about that? Sometimes troubles and opposition comes to our life simply because God trusts us. And he sends us forth into an endeavor where there are, in the spiritual arena, many opposing forces. And we have to learn how to do battle. But you can't fight to win if you quit. You need to get the rebound in your life. Whether you have sinned, and whether you have missed the mark, or whether your dreams have crumbled at your feet today, God is calling you back to the center of his will. Get the rebound. Go forward. Be all you can be for God today. That's his call to you and me. Hallelujah. We've all had disappointments. We've all had opportunities to quit. We've all had opportunities to give in to depression or worry or fear or anxiety. But we also, within us, because of what Jesus has done for us when we were born again, we have the innate capability of rebounding in life. We can get up off the floor. We can dust ourselves off, praise God. And we can go back onto the race and win in Jesus' name. Hallelujah to God. Great men and women are just ordinary people that will not quit. They just keep on rebounding. They keep coming back. They keep on receiving God's forgiveness and sharing God's forgiveness with others. Hallelujah. You know, it always bothers me when I see Christians in the body of Christ that are so hard and critical of others. Because every one of us has sinned. And if every one of us has sinned, and yet we're born again, that means that God has forgiven us, but yet we sometimes have a hard time forgiving others. Do you know that your Bible says that unforgiveness in your life is a sin that God cannot forgive you of? I've often said it this way. We have been forgiven of a lifetime. Hallelujah to Jesus. We have been forgiven of a lifetime of mistakes, a lifetime of sinfulness. We have been forgiven for our very sinful human nature. Because of the blood of Christ, we are forgiven. Once we make Him our Lord and Savior, once we commit to Him, He forgives us. And yet we will hold some little tiny grudge, some little insignificant nothing, or it might be a great big thing, but we hold that grudge against somebody else and we refuse to extend the forgiveness of God to that individual. And that's wrong. We must be forgivers because we have been forgiven. You can be forgiven. And let me tell you something. Pastor friend of mine, evangelist, minister of the gospel that I love so much. If you have made a mistake, if you have sinned, or if you have failed to accomplish your dream at this point, the dream that God gave you, not something you dreamed up on your own, not something you thought would be a good idea to try, but the dream that God gave you. If you have failed, if you have missed it, I want you to know that you have not failed God. And that God wants you to get the rebound in life. And He will give you something great to do. He will get you up and going again by the power of His Holy Spirit. You are not a failure unless you quit. I want to say that again. You are not a failure unless you quit. Christian, you're not a failure unless you go out and serve the devil. And as long as in your heart, let's deal with both of these areas because we're trying to preach one message to encompass any failure, which may or may not be sin. Let's just say, you know, like we've said, that you've had a ministry from God and things didn't quite go right. Or maybe you have sinned. And I want you to know, if you've sinned, you're not a failure until you go out and start serving the devil. And God knows, and God sees, as long as there is a cry in your heart that you love Jesus Christ and He is your Lord and you desire to serve Him and commit to Him with your total loyalty in life, as long as that is in your heart and you cry out to God for mercy and forgiveness, God will have mercy and forgiveness on you. And you haven't failed. You might be down, but you're not out. You might have lost the battle, but you haven't lost the war. It's only the first quarter. It's only halftime. It's only the third quarter. And you can still win if you'll rebound. Hallelujah. If you'll get up. If you'll forsake your sin. If you'll get back in the race. You can still win. You can rebound and do something great for God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we welcome you too. Whatever your particular situation might be. And like I say, it might not be sin. It might just be that your dreams were crushed. You wanted to win that race like Opie did. And you worked hard. And you ran fast. But somebody was faster. Somebody got there first. Whatever the case might be. You haven't failed, God. Buck up under this thing, little buckaroo. Get up. Get going. Hallelujah. Rebound and do something great for God. Hallelujah. Don't quit. Don't give up. Endure. Persevere in the name of Jesus. Repent of your sin if you have sinned and come back to Christ. He's waiting for you with open arms of love and mercy and forgiveness. And He'll clean that sin out of your life. You know, God does not save us in our sin. He doesn't save us and then we keep sinning. He saves us and He cleanses us and He takes the sin out of us and replaces it with His Holy Spirit. And He wants you to come back to Him today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is waiting there to receive you. You can rebound in life and do something great for God. Amen. Consider with me a moment an event that happened in the life of Peter. In your Bibles, if you'll turn to St. Luke chapter 22, you'll read this in verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired you, desired to have you, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Hallelujah. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. I don't want to dig into that verse and take it all apart for you. We don't have time. But I want you to notice this. Jesus is looking at Peter and telling him, Satan has demanded permission. That's the actual translation. He has demanded permission to have you and to sift you as wheat. But I'm praying for you that your faith won't fail. Hallelujah. That your faith won't fail. And when you've won the battle. Hallelujah. When you are converted. You see, Jesus knew what the outcome would be. As long as Peter loved him, loved Jesus, as long as Peter desired to have that positive outcome, as long as Peter desired to serve the Lord, Jesus knew that Peter would win. Praise God. How can you lose with Jesus praying for you? The Bible says He ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. How can we lose with Jesus praying for me and for you? Amen? The Bible says, if God be for you, who can be against you? Jesus knew the outcome. Provide, now, He wouldn't force that outcome on Peter. Provided that Peter would obey Him, that Peter would love Him and serve Him. It depended on the desire of the heart of Peter, just like it today depends on the desire of your heart. If you desire Jesus, if you desire heaven, if you desire the will of God for your life, there is no devil in hell that can stop you because God loves you and Jesus died for you. Hallelujah. And Jesus knew the outcome. If Peter would do the right thing in his heart. What an awesome, awesome, awesome example of God's great love and mercy for us. However, the greatest symbol of rebounding is not a basketball backboard or even the story of a great rebounder. The cross is the greatest symbol of rebounding. To all outward appearances and to the natural mind of man, Jesus appeared to be completely defeated. His disciples had abandoned him. The religious and the political leaders of that day rejected him totally. The crowds that had followed the Master now had all melted away. And Jesus died an ignominious death on a cross, despised and rejected by humanity. Yet, he rebounded. Hallelujah. On the third day, God raised him from the dead. I want to close with this thought for you today. Death could not swallow up Jesus. The greatest enemy, and the Bible calls death an enemy. The Bible says the last enemy that shall be defeated is death. The greatest enemy known to mortal man is death, and it could not defeat Christ. And the Bible says that when we are in Christ, death is swallowed up in victory. It can't defeat us either. Jesus at one point in his life said, "Satan is coming, but he has no part in me." And I believe by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that you and I can have that same testimony. We can say, as the great apostle Paul said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Hallelujah. "I have rebounded and done something for God in my life. I have served God when the odds were all against me. I have won the race of life in Jesus Christ, because I wouldn't quit. I wouldn't give up." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is no failure too great, and there is no sin that's too terrible for God to forgive. You can rebound. Christ did. Don't misunderstand me. Jesus never sinned. The devil tried to defeat an innocent individual who was, strangely enough, both God and man. And Jesus faced every temptation that you and I face. Yet, he never sinned. Hallelujah. Never one time did Jesus sin. Never one time did he fail. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities because he walked in that earth flesh for 33 and a half years. And he will forgive you based upon the condition of your heart and based upon the obedience of your life to his words. Today, I don't care where you've been, but I do care where you're going. I don't care if you've maybe fallen, but please let me help you out. Rebound today. Come back to Christ. If you have left the ministry because you thought you failed, what if Jesus would have done that when he was hanging on the cross? If he would have just said, "Well, King's X, I'm going to die here in a few minutes, and when I get to heaven, I'm not going to pray for that bunch. They're killing me here." Oh, no, 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 no. Jesus didn't do that. If you've left the ministry today because you think you have failed God, I challenge you, get back out there on the field. Get back out there where God called you to be. And walk in a new anointing and a fresh power today. Rebound in life and do something great for God. Come to Christ today and let him forgive you of your sins and your mistakes and your character flaws. That power that raised Christ from the dead is available to you right now through the power of the Holy Spirit. Ask yourself this question as we close. Have I given up? Is my church or my ministry defeated? And then the all-important question. Will I claim Jesus' resurrection power to make a comeback, to rebound? And there's one more question that you might want to consider, child of God. Is there somebody out there that needs to hear my witness of my rebounding in life in order for them to be saved? Is there somebody whom I can bless with my testimony? Is there someone that will be encouraged by looking at me? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, help us today. Help every child of God under the sound of my voice. Help everyone that doesn't know the Lord today to see beyond every failure, Lord, and let us see the hope of the comeback, the hope of the possibility of us rebounding in Christ. And Father, show us our opportunities as your people to encourage others to come back to Christ or to fulfill all of what God has planned for their life. Let us strengthen one another. Let us encourage one another. Let us build one another up in the love of God today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody would say, amen and amen. Now, just before we leave from our little message here this morning, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you've never been saved, or if you have fallen away from the Lord for whatever reason, one time you used to walk with Him, but now you don't walk with Him anymore, I want to have a word of prayer with you. I would like for you, wherever you are right now, to repeat this word of prayer right out loud with me. And we will believe God together for you to come to Christ and to receive forgiveness of your sins so that you can have a fresh new start today. Don't put it off. Today, you can be made brand new in Jesus Christ.